Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Abba Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Draft Forum 2.0 time. Look, these beautiful mugs on these men below us. In the first seat, we have Mr. Pat Fitzmaurice, who I haven't seen in a little bit. Co-host with Bogman over on Fantasy Pros. On Twitter, you can find him at Fitz_FF. All the great stuff on the pros with Bogman. Dynasty, everything else, one of the best in business. First off, Pat, what's up, buddy? How are you doing? I barely get to talk to you anymore. Bogman steals all your time.
I know, Welsh. I see way too little of you and way too much of Bogman. It's frustrating. So yeah, we haven't done a show together since Joe Pisapia introduced us. So great to be back on with you at long last.
Literally what he just said is what I say all the time to anybody. I'm like, hey, I haven't done a show with you enough. I've just done them all with Bogman. Over here, this other guy. The all-in kid, the all-engaged kid.
Push them chips in.
Jake Seeley finally pushed those chips in. No longer will you get an ITL episode where Bogman, myself, and Jake are talking about his love life. He's revealing stories about any of it because, Jake, you locked it up. You made your pick. She made her pick, and you have officially been engaged. We don't need to talk about football, so congratulations first off, buddy. You're going to be a married man in the near future. How near?
Yeah, well, thank you. It was just your first pick. I didn't get the first chair. I'm going to just jump off the show. What the hell? He put Fitz first, 101 on the show. I'm
like, absolutely.
There's that famous Jake ego. There it is.
Yeah, 100%.
Is she ready? Is she ready for this? Does she know about this?
No, that's like when you said in the first chair, I looked up and then you went to Fitz. And I was
Mr.
Like, right,
Mrs.
Whatever.
Jake Seeley. make sure you say that. Yeah.
She's team band kickers. She already talked about the fact that like she likes the dark purple of Darkwing Duck for the theme for the wedding. So like this is, I waited this long for the perfect fit. I definitely found the perfect fit. So thank you.
I was going to ask, like, what if an ultimatum was that you had to draft a kicker? Would you be back on the market or would you be drafting a kicker?
Well, it just wouldn't come down to it because it just, she already accepts the fact that that's not a possible scenario.
We literally we were doing a live stream. We literally had people be like, can you just tell Jake to draft a kicker? And I was like, listen, there's a lot of things we might be able to tell Jake. We have a great relationship. There's no chance we're going to get to him about the kicker. Jake has literally, I'm baffled by it. It's amazing. And, you know, his skills obviously not just fantasy analyst, but an actual like in application drafter is incredible. He's posted teams where Jake has literally not drafted the kicker and still takes
and
it down.
And
won the league. And I'm just like, what you do, it pisses people off, but I love it obviously because Jake and I are both hashtag, you know, team villain heel. We like to be the heel when we can. And all right. So it's just not going to come down to, so there's going to be no kicker things in the marriage. Maybe you guys, Is there a way you can implement no kickers in the wedding somehow?
I don't know. We'll have to think about that. We'll definitely brainstorm.
Yeah, maybe you guys should wear the shirts.
I didn't even like have to explain. Like, she wasn't like team ban kickers, but she's like, yeah, I like kickers. I don't really, whatever. I was like, oh, well, here's why you don't use them in fantasy. And then she's like, that makes perfect sense. I was like, well, you may.
I'll go with that now. Yes, yeah, thank you.
You can mold them. You can mold them. Excellent. Well, Jake over at The Athletic, All In Kid, the Twitter handle. You can catch him on all the stuff, but we don't need to talk about all those things because we can talk about the football, the foosball, and all of your draft prep. So, as I said in the last one we did with PZP and Erickson, like, all the episodes have kind of been done. The rank episodes for everybody here, the sleepers, the mocks. We've been doing mocks like crazy. We've all, four of us, have done in some capacity all the episodes that you can possibly have. So now we're kind of in a reactionary state of what's going on as far as what's going on in camps, how are players performing that we need to care about in actual exhibition games. And that's what we are left to. So, Bogman, I'll let you kick it off here because we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of camp stuff. But what do you got to kick us out?
Well, I'm going to go to chair one first to Pat Fitzmaurice and ask about this one first. Antonio Gibson. There's been a lot of nastiness talked about Antonio Gibson. He doesn't look good in camp. He had fumble issues early. He played with the second string and fumbled. Today, as we're recording, we got some reports that he is on special teams and working with the third team offense right now. So is this too reactionary? Is this over the top? Is this Ron Rivera punishment and not really going to equate to much come regular season? Or do you have legit worries about Antonio Gibson moving forward here, Fitzy?
I lean toward too reactionary. I'm happy to take a discount if he's going to continue to plummet. And we've talked about him, Boggs. Like, this guy's as big and as fast as Jonathan Taylor, has scored double-digit touchdowns in his first two seasons, is a former college wide receiver, so we know he can catch passes. Like, I know the depth chart is concerning. I know the fumbling thing is concerning, although, you know, with guys like, and Jake will know this as a Giants fan, like, Tiki Barber was a fumbler until he wasn't. Like, he just fixed it, and it was gone. And, so I'm... like, I want a big, fast, talented dude. And if he gets 10 to 12 carries or 10 to 12 touches a game, we'll say, he is still someone you can start in the flex every week and, you know, like, not be losing the flex position. And if the Commanders only give him 10 to 12 touches a week, they're absolutely insane. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm buying the dip, man. And, you know, plus we always get the possibility of an injury to either McKissick or Brian Robinson, which forces them to give Gibson more snaps. So I'm in. I mean, big, fast, talented, catches passes, scores touchdowns, and played with a freaking cracked shin bone last year.
So, not worrying about a bad month stretch.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
In this league.
I remember that.
No, see, that's interesting to hear too, because I feel like these are the type of guys and these are the type of situations that build all of the conversation about sell, and no one buys back into these guys anymore. I don't feel like there's any, I mean, we're going to talk about, I guess, a few of them, but like, this is one of those big ones. Or I guess we're not going to talk about Dave Montgomery, but the Montgomery stuff that's floating out there feels very sellish in a lot of ways. So that's, I think that's probably good and positive to hear that there's a buy in it. Jake, do you feel the same way about Gibson? It's kind of a wonky situation. Early camp stuff can really, really throw out weird signals and people can way overreact. Is this overreactionary about Antonio Gibson and his fall? Should he be falling, or are you going to jump on and swoop up everything that people are dropping?
All the above. So initially, I was the one that hated Gibson because I didn't have him in the RB1 conversation like 2 months ago. And then we get this pushback and he's falling and falling and falling. So where I say all above, I completely agree with Fitz. Is like, I'm buying because the overreaction is now he's in the sixth, seventh eighth. I saw yesterday. I talked to Meany. He fell into the eighth round in a draft.
Eighth round?
Yeah, people are going insane with this. And look, the concern is obviously the Brian Robinson role. And so Brian Robinson, if he gets the goal line carries, now you're a full-blown committee. Like, but the thing was, is Gibson, before McKissick went down last year, was top 20 in points per game and overall. So you don't want to say, like, oh, well, he played more games. No, and that's as the injury, as stated by Fitz, like, he played through that as well. And now you're talking about the fact, like, okay, if he loses goal line, he loses the touchdowns that he's rushing for, he only runs for three or four, and it is a committee, what is he going to be? Running back 30, worst case? Because, as said just now, he is super talented. He's not going to lose the job to Brian Robinson outside of an injury. So worst case scenario is he's RB 30, fifth round, but he's going past that now. Now you're buying all of the, what if Brian Robinson's a non-factor and he ends up being a top 15 running back again? So 100%, it's all of the above, and now I'm buying 100% in.
So this is a really interesting thing. Bogman brought up this question in the open, and this leads into the second one, where I'm pretty enamored with Damian Pierce and Damian Pierce's performance. Average over 9 yards per carry, looks like, at least in the first preseason game, he's getting some of the early run. There's a lot of reports out there that early, even before the game, was that, hey, listen, Marlon Mack is not going to hold this down. And now you're getting reports that Damian Pierce looks like he is already stepping into a number one overall role. So, Jake, we'll start with you. Damian Pierce or Antonio Gibson? Which side would you take on this one? And this will tell how much you're a believer in Damian Pierce and what's going on.
Well, I am a strong believer in Damian Pierce. As soon as they drafted him, I'm not a Marlon Mack guy. I think he's replacement level running back, which is works in fantasy. We see that. You just be
at the NFL level running back.
You can perform on a lot of teams. As soon as they drafted Damian Pierce, it's like they got discount version Kenneth Walker, who's discount version Derrick Henry, and I was like, he'll be the lead. I say all that to say, I'm still taking Gibson. I'm taking the guy who can finish top 15 if everything goes right. Damian Pierce isn't getting there. Even Damian Pierce gets to 1,100 rushing yards, which would be the first time since Arian Foster in 2014 that a Houston Texans running back has run for 1,100 yards. I'm still taking Gibson every single time.
Pat, what do you think? Damian Pierce, Antonio Gibson, how much do you buy Pierce, and which side are you going with? I mean, it sounds like this is going to go in the same direction, but, you know, you tell me.
Yeah, I pretty much would echo everything Jake just said. Like, Gibson for sure. I do like Pierce, but it's a Texans running back. That offense is going to be bottom third, bottom quarter, pretty much locked into that. So he would have to get, like, workhorse usage and not be just the dean of a committee to really kind of move the needle for fantasy. Like, I don't know. We look
and
at these players.
He didn't do that at Florida either, by the way. I didn't want to cut you off there, Fitzy, but they didn't use – I thought he was underused at Florida because they had him in a committee there too. So
who was my guy at Florida that I loved? Done. Who was my guy?
Well, Florida State. That was Deshaun Corbin.
Deshaun, yeah, you I like love Corbin. Yeah, Deshaun, that's right. Corbin. It was at Florida State. Yeah, exactly.
And like, we've made fun of, you know, Dan Mullen for being a dope and not playing Pierce more, but that's a good point. He never got workhorse usage. And, like, I think we just, in the offseason, we get excited about players and what they might bring and what their skill sets are, what their resumes look like. But then we got to think about, like, actually putting these guys into our starting lineups once the season starts. And, like, when are you going to feel comfortable with Damian Pierce in a starting lineup spot? Like, the Texans might have to have kind of a soft matchup. He'd have to be, like, getting repeatedly 15-plus touches a game because he's probably not going to score a lot of TDs in that offense. Yeah, he's just a guy, like, when in theory I like the idea of Damian Pierce, but actually plugging him into my lineups, not so much.
So let me do this then. If I told you he was the 46th running back on Fantasy Pros PPR ADP or consensus ranks, Pat, would you say that's high or low?
Little low, probably now.
Okay, Jake, what do you think? High or low?
Low.
Okay, very low. Yeah, so low. He's being undersold at this point. So if I gave you the option, Damian Pierce or Cordell Patterson, Jake, which one would you take?
I lean Pierce because I think we've seen the best out of Cordell Patterson, which was high-end RB too, but I just don't know that that's needed again this year. I don't like how they switched over last year, even though Algier is, what, eighth on the depth chart? Well, the depth charts mean nothing. They're using a converted safety at least so far in front of him. And I'm an Algier fan and think that he could be a nice complimentary piece with Cordell Patterson. But what it comes down to is Cordell Patterson, I just think, shares potentially with three people. If Damian Pierce can free himself, and Pat's not wrong, it's still going to be you need that 15-plus touches on a terrible offense, but so is the Atlanta offense. So I want the guy who could potentially get 15 touches every week.
Pat, are you same, or you want Patterson over Pierce?
No, I'm the same. Okay. Patterson
Fitz
was just
hates Patterson.
Like, I don't hate him, but he's like a 30 plus year old running back who was just totally leaking oil down the stretch last year.
Yeah. So this is the last one with that, just to kind of hone it in here. Let me push one last one. And because obviously you guys, everyone listening, you're understanding Damian Pierce is being undersold right now, and he is potentially still a value in drafts, which is going to change. If you're looking and you're just scouring the Fantasy Pros ADPs, you're going to see him low. Some of the sites are not going to have had him pushed up quite enough. Pat, Damian Pierce, or Damian Harris?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, that is a really good one. Still good Damian Harris. Damian Harris by a nose.
Oh, Jake. Damian, which Damian do you want? Pierce or Harris?
Lillard. I would still take Harris. I actually think the news about Stevenson is just good for Stevenson, is that they're basically eliminating, it sounds like, the James White role. So it'll be a third person involved. I'm with you. I think Stevenson got rose-colored glassed, if that's a word, trying to make that a word,
glasseted
by the fantasy community, because his two great games came with over 20 carries in both. Harris was doing that on fewer touch. Why does everybody forget what Harris was doing? So I think this could be a Broncos backfield circa 2021, and now they're both top 20 running backs. So I am Damian Harris.
See, then that's another interesting thing, Boggs, that happened. All the negativity we even heard last week was anti-Harris, all Ramondre, and this is kind of like bringing back. Not only do we uncover Pierce is undervalued, but this fall that Damian Harris is having might be a little, the song might have been sung a little too early.
A lot of it is people just clamor for any news. So as soon as we get like the first couple pieces of news, they want to, oh, this is news. This is what I want. Ramondre Stevenson's great. He's the best. Forget Damian Harris. You know, and I think that is kind of part of it. A lot of these little things are going to get lost in the shuffle. But one thing that will not, Mr. Jake Seeley, is Isaiah Pacheco.
Mm-hmm. And 101.
I knew it. Is this Clyde Edwards-Helaire all over again?
Any
Jake?
Rookie Chiefs running back, Jake is like, first round, take him. Go.
Pacheco looks amazing. He's taking first team reps. He's ahead of Ronald Jones for sure on the depth chart for now. He's still behind CEH, though, so I think people need to calm down a little bit. Obviously, not 101 overall, but where are you putting him? Is he a running back four? Is he a fifth guy? Are you still not taking him in, like, a standard 12-man? What do you think? What are you doing with Pacheco specifically?
Well, first, I'm going to correct Welsh before you come to check the tape.
Six overall.
Pacheco or Jonathan Taylor, Jake?
to check the tape, it's like, I was team Clyde Edwards-Helaire third round. I was the first to mock the fact that people were taking him in the first when Williams.
You know what? You
out.
Did do that on this podcast. Yeah. You're right about
yes.
that. You're right.
I was Edwards-Helaire circa Spencer Ware, that type of situation. That's where I was going with that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
I mocked everybody doing the first round nonsense. And that's why I said it, because I'm joking tongue-in-cheek about Pacheco's excitement. Look, the real aspect of this is that Pacheco can be the number two. Like, Ronald Jones probably not long for this team. It sounds like going to be the one that gets cut out. And it's Ronald Jones. But if something were to happen to Edwards-Helaire, I don't see Pacheco as the type of running back that's going to be 20 touches per game. McKinnon involved. Derek Gore involved. Maybe full-blown committee with all of them. He could be the lead. But that puts him in the conversation of he would be a nice RB2. He doesn't deserve to be in the Pollard, A.J. Dillon, those Khalil Herberts, where if the lead goes down, we know they're going to be bell cows, and we've seen them be bell cows. So I think what you said, Boggs, I would say RB4. That's where he should be. The problem is that's already gone. He's already being drafted in front of him with the A.J. Dillons of the world, and that's the problem. People need to cool back down and also not ignore how much use Clyde Edwards-Helaire got before Pacheco was getting, like, everybody's just like, oh my God, Pacheco, a target inside the 10-yard line. And it's like, you realize Edwards-Helaire just was on the field for 17 plays, right?
Yeah. And Also, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't need a lot of that experience. He has it. So right. He hasn't been good at it, but he does have experience. Fitz, I in my most recent update, I have Pacheco at 58 among running backs. So, and that is for PPR 56, excuse me. I have him behind, like, Nyheim Hines, who I don't particularly care for, Rashad White, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but I got him ahead of, like, Ronald Jones and Zach Moss and Deontay Foreman and guys like that. So I'm even lower on him than RB4. Is that where you're at, or are you a little bit more optimistic? Because this is a Chiefs back, and it is a good offense.
Really close to where I am on him. And, like, I do want something to grasp onto in this Chiefs backfield, like having a Chiefs running back who can maybe – I'll even raise Jake on this. Jake said, like, the number two. I think he could maybe be 1A in a committee. I'm just, you know, not a fan of CEH, as you know, Boggs, and certainly not a fan of Ronald Jones, who's a catastrophe in the passing game. And, you know, Jerick McKinnon probably isn't going to hold up he's going to play three games and get hurt. So I do want someone to hang on to, and Pacheco is exciting. But man, the price is going up. I was in a draft. It's a super flex draft. And in Analyst League, and Ray Garvin took him in the late 11th round, I think, last week of a super flex draft. Like, that's really early.
Yeah.
Fitz, you're about to come on the clock in the flex leagues. You're in third round. He's still on the board for you.
I could top Ray with that one. And then Ray went out and tore his Achilles in the flag football tournament in Kansas.
Oh, my God. Did he really?
Rough week for – he did. Cool.
Saw that picture, Ray Q, where he was like the before and the after, and it was just the chair you put your leg in.
Oh,
I
man.
Mean, that is what happens to us old people. Like, even if you're not old, just get down into this game.
No, I checked out of flag football at 34. I was like, I'm done.
That's when you play one of those games, you wake up the next day, and you're like, I can't move.
Pat, didn't Fantasy Pros, you guys came out to Arizona. Were you here? And were you here at that time? Did you? Because I'd say they did a flag football thing, and I was like, that seems like a bad idea. That seems like a bad idea with a bunch of fantasy football analysts and Fantasy Pros doing that.
It's a very bad idea. And on fortunately, it was like the end of our last game. Like, I intercepted a pass, and there was like a young athletic guy in front of me, and I, for some reason, thought I was going to put a move on him. And it was kind of on loose dirt, too. And I felt something in my upper leg kind of say to me, no, man, don't do that. And luckily, not a full-blown injury, but like, it was on the verge of that, and I was kind of feeling that muscle for a few days afterwards, just talking to me, like lecturing
me. I want Fitz to answer a question. I want to know, there's always one. Who was the one out there that was still like was trying to relive their college intramural days? There's always one.
At the Fantasy Pros one, man, Matt Friedman was balling out. Like, he had some nasty strawberries on his legs after those games. Like, he was diving and laying out.
Joe sitting on a rock over there looking over at Pat and Eric being like, did you get throw that football over that mountain over there? I 100% Joe is just
Uncle Rico.
Lowers the shoulder.
Joe is definitely faster than I would have expected from looking at Joe, though. Joe surprised me with his shape. Yeah, Joe can ball, man. He had some good performance.
That's a backhanded compliment. That's a very quality backhanded compliment.
Yeah, I can't be too nice to Joe.
Pat's voice goes up. He's like, he can move a little bit. Like,
you know, I looked at him. I'm surprised he's good at sports.
let me ask a couple about Pacheco here before we move on to the next one here. Jake, I'll start with you. I want you to order for me James Cook, Brian Robinson, Isaiah Pacheco.
Reverse order. I would love James Cook on 18 different teams, maybe 28 different teams. It's just they're insanity doing the same thing over and over again. The Bills are still trying to make Zach Moss a thing. And three running backs with Josh Allen. I don't want two running backs with Josh Allen. The only time we finally saw it was when Singletary was the last man standing last year. I love some James Cook. I talked highly about James Cook. He was in my tier three at the high end of running backs, but I just don't like that backfield. So I would reverse order. I would go Pacheco because of the upside, because Fitz world could be happening. It could be Pacheco sharing with Edwards-Helaire as getting the lesser share of the backfield. Robinson is just if Antonio Gibson goes down.
Okay. I mean, I'm not there with you at all, but
Brian Robinson, tear break, everybody else.
No. Actually, I have Robinson too there. I still have Cook ahead. So Cook, Robinson, and Pacheco fits. What do you think?
Cook and then really close Pacheco and Robinson, maybe leaning Pacheco now. And I was with Jake on Cook. Like, I think I've dropped that stat on our pod. Bogman and Allen's 4 years as a starter, he has 31 rushing touchdowns, and all Bills running backs have 28 combined. Right. And that, like, the percentage of targets to running backs in the league for the Bills the last 4 years have all been, like, you know, 24th or lower in the rankings. So
actually, last year it was fourth worst, and of qualified quarterbacks, since Allen has stepped into the league, he is fourth worst at throwing to running backs.
Yeah, but like Dwayne McFarland of PFF has kind of sold me on the idea that maybe they're trying to change that, the way they actively tried to go out and get McKissick and Chase Edmonds. And
Cook doesn't just run as a running back either. He can play slot. He can play outside.
Right, he's not just a flare pass guy.
Is there also something that changes in this if, and this is just a presumption, that this whole dolling Zach Moss around the first team and blah, blah, blah might be something to maybe present him to others? And I have a hard time believing that they keep this whole thing. If, let's just hypothetically say, Zach Moss were to be gone after this and they went to Singletary, Cook and Cook were in that, would that vault or change anybody's perception of maybe how high a tier would go?
I'd put Cook second. I would still go Pacheco first.
Okay, so Zach Moss is gone, Cook would go into second. Because my order on this, to Bogman's chagrin, is Pacheco, Cook, and then Robinson.
Ooh.
So I still like Cook, but I'm also assuming the role.
Welsh, where do you have Pacheco ranked right now?
So I have, let me take a look here. That's a great question. I was actually just playing around with the Damian Pierce stuff. I have Pacheco right after Kenny Gainwell. So
that's a good
high 30s.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit lower than that. It's in the 40s. Yeah, I have Gainwell a little bit lower, but I've got him in. Oh. There's like a rookie tier of like the Rashad White, Zamir White. I actually might have Gainwell a tiny bit lower. Might need to get moved. But yeah, right into that 40 range, Pacheco. And are we gonna? Are we, can Pacheco, we agree, Pacheco 46. Or Pacheco?
Pacheco. You don't listen to anything Jake says.
You and Jake
says,
are fighting over this, and you Pacheco. Both will not relent. You both were like, Jake is like, I really like Pacheco, and Bogman's like, yeah, Pacheco is good.
Pacheco.
Let's settle this.
Pacheco.
Like the fight doctor, Ferdy Pacheco. Oh,
well, that went out with a whimper. Jake,
Jake doesn't want to fight about it. So. Jake is the name Nazi here. Is what is ETN? Is it ETN or is it Etienne? Is it Etienne? What is
it's ETN because that's how his family says it. But yeah. Pat Mayo is even the one that brought it up. If you go by its origin, it's actually Etienne because it's
ETN. Just spell it out. ETN. Just take all the rest of those letters out. Just be ETN. That's fine by me.
I mean, look, Travis Kelce tried to tell us his name was Kels last year, and you can't wait 12 years and then be like, yeah, we're changing my last name.
Right.
Yeah, it's as bad as Darius Leonard going by Shaquille Leonard now. I can't.
I sometimes wonder if these guys get in a room and they're just like, let's screw with them all. Like, today, you're going to, I mean, Peyton, you're going to be Patan.
Romeo Dubs and Dobbs changed his name like week in and week out. It's like he keeps changing. Like, pick one.
I'm
done with that one. All right.
Let's talk about the Seahawks running back situation. Rashad Penny has some crazy looking underlining numbers, obviously, from last season. If you're looking at just efficiency and breaking tackles, blah, blah, blah. Kenny Walker, I think, looks phenomenal, especially when you look at college tape on them. And Penny's consistently hurt, Pat. So how do you sparse this situation out? Kenny Walker is the long play. This screams to me, you want Kenny Walker for the season, but he ain't going to help early on, or like big time early on. This is one of those, I'm trying to remember who it was, Bugs. We've done this dance like 12 different times where it's like, listen, once this guy's unleashed, he's the guy that you want. But can you victory lap taking a player that maybe is less productive for 4 or 5 weeks, and then they're the guy if you take them at RB2 or 3? That's ultimately the question I think that goes on. But Penny's always hurt. Walker looks like a champ. They like him. How do you sparse out? How do you draft out both of Penny and Kenny Walker? Ken Walker.
I think you framed that dilemma pretty well, but I think you can do it when he's going like running back 30 rather than running back 20. So I do like Walker too, and now we've already got Penny dealing with groin tightness. Is anyone going to throw a punchline in there? I'm just going to
talk
with you guys a second.
We're all a little sensitive for all of us.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe like if Penny does get healthy in time for week one, we do have to wait a few weeks, but...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, me, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
I've got Walker just ahead, but pretty close.
Okay, because the consensus... What am I? I think I'm on the ADP, how the ADP goes over on Fantasy Pros, is Penny is the 31st running back taken. Walker is the 35th, so just on the borderline of, like, a flex. Jake, does... Rashad Penny ultimately monopolized himself by eating himself alive with injuries and, you know, the talent is never able to flourish just because he can't stay on the field, and what ultimately pushes Walker into a bigger role. Can he be a starting top 36 running back, Walker, with Penny healthy, and are you banking that that doesn't matter?
He can be, and he can be with Penny. Basically, go back to something we talked about earlier in the show, is the Broncos' backfield. If it's a 50-50 split, which I think if Penny were healthy, you'd be looking at as a 50-50 split with a little bit more defined roles, Walker less in the passing game, Penny more in the passing game, and for what we play, half a point, full point PPR and the explosiveness might lean a little bit towards Penny, but it's the health risk. It's the offense, bottom five in the league probably. And so now you're looking at the touchdown upside. You lose both of them, potentially even reaching five or six rushing touchdowns, depending on who can stay healthy. But at least it's two. It's not a full-blown committee. The only way that Travis Homer or anybody else really gets involved is if Penny misses time or somebody's out. And if Penny misses times, that's just thumbs up to Ken Walker. You know, Ken Walker has clear struggles in the passing game from college. We've seen it. We've seen him turn the wrong direction in college and at the NFL already. But... he's steadily improving. I admittedly have seen him steadily improve. Do I think he's going to be on the legs of like a Kareem Hunt level? That's not even the top of the league when it comes to a pass catching running back. No, but can he be adequate? Sure. And can he get 16 plus touches again or a game in that backfield? Sure. And in that case, now you're talking about a top 25 running back, even on the worst offense.
So are you taking, do you have Walker over Penny in your ranks right now?
I do, because he's healthy. And like, stepmom Lauren was like, spit out her drink on my podcast today because we were talking about Rashad Penny. And I was saying that everybody came to me last year and was like, oh, it's finally happening, Jake. You love Rashad Penny. And I was like, it didn't matter at that point because just like my dating life, I had lost hope. Like, it didn't matter anymore. I was like, oh, whatever.
And just for everyone to lose faith. So.
And I've got Walker over Penny as well. And
everybody knows
you...
I got Walker.
You're way over
Penny. But I want to know about rookie worries about any of these guys. So any of them, Breece Hall, Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, have they moved down in your ranks because things don't look completely in their favor right now? Jake, we'll start with you on that one.
So it was Treylon Burks, Breece Hall, who was the third?
Garrett Wilson.
Oh, okay. So Treylon Burks, no, but that was already, I hated Treylon Burks. I put that in quotes because he was in my tier two of wide receivers. And I hate the guy because he's in tier two with the draft prospects. I think that Treylon Burks is more long-term anyway. I think he wasn't going to be a year one fantasy impact or number one NFL wide receiver. I'm team Robert Woods for that team. So for me, it doesn't move him down because I was already concerned. So if you were on him, then yes, you should be concerned because this is why. So Breece Hall, not really, but maybe the share got overblown because of how good Breece Hall is, and people forgot that Michael Carter is good in his own right. And this might be a 55-45 split, unlike a 65-35 some people were saying.
I have every share of Michael Carter in like all my leagues. I think I have
like
all
we just
of them.
Writing him away. Garrett Wilson, like this is another one. I kind of go both ways. Like Garrett Wilson's a great wide receiver. He was in tier one for me, but I was always on Elijah Moore. And looking at Elijah Moore, with the way he started last year was extremely poor. We all know that. The volume was there, and then he went on a stretch where he was the number two wide receiver in fantasy over those final 6 weeks and five in points per game. And that's with two different quarterbacks. They weren't all Zach Wilson. So I'm not saying Elijah Moore is going to be
Magic Mike White in there too.
I know, and I'm not saying Elijah Moore is going to be a number one wide receiver. But can we stop? I like rookies. You know that, Scott. We talk about them every single year. Mm-hmm. But can we stop with the shiny new toy and just recognize that Elijah Moore? So it's more of you should have been cooling your jets on Garrett Wilson anyway.
Okay. Pogs, I'm gonna let you get this.
Nobody's gonna smirk at the cool your jets. Nobody.
Just so bad. Like
I love
it's
it. I
so
love
terrible.
It. No. That's like an A plus dad joke that I appreciate.
Three Pogs, dads yeah. here. I'm not one of them, so I give you nothing.
I'm not a dad.
Zero.
Yeah,
you're gonna be a dad real fast, Jake.
Whoa, I mean, she's gonna be the news.
Let's call it right now. Let's call it. Jake is a dad with this time next year. Jake's a dad. That's what I'm saying.
Two things. One is she already has a daughter who's about to go off to college next year. Second, impossible. We're not having kids. Impossible. If you don't just leave that there.
Okay. But all right.
The third part is my buddy locally, Chris, actually said to me, do you realize you're going to get called granddad, but never dad? It's just like,
I just, you know what? The dad joke was so good. I already assumed you were a dad.
I'm telling you, we could do a fantasy football documentary series. You would definitely be one of the stars of it. You would definitely be a great character. And if I can do that, someone hire me to do a documentary series.
Who's going
to
play me?
There's Chris
Pratt. Everybody plays Chris Pratt.
It's a documentary series. You will be playing you. We will have a story of Jake's life, and it will be awesome. It will be awesome.
I disagree about the rookie wide receivers, too. I just think that – I think Treylon Burks is already the best wide receiver on Tennessee. And it's not necessarily because he is a Hall of Fame wide receiver or anything. It's because Robert Woods is the other best. So – and then Nick Westbrook-Akina is the other guy. So, like, I think Treylon Burks is going to be used out of necessity this year. So I'm not worried about him. I think Mike Vrabel's just being a hardo and making him practice because he didn't get in because of all the asthma stuff. I also think Garrett Wilson is much better than Corey Davis and Braxton Berrios. So I think that Wilson and Moore are going to be the guys by like week four there. Obviously, Moore is already there and he has no worries, but Garrett Wilson's a little tricky right now. Fitzy, are you worried about any of those guys, about Breece Hall, Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson?
Like, I don't know about worried for Wilson, but I like the idea of Wilson a lot more in dynasty leagues than in redraft.
That's fair.
Like, I agree, Boggs, that he's better than Corey Davis, but Corey Davis and Zach Wilson kind of clicked last year, at least early on. Like, that was kind of his, Zach Wilson's go-to guy. So I don't think Garrett Wilson's going to have, and I'm totally with Jake on Elijah Moore. Like, that's the guy I want on the Jets wide receiver core. So I'm like you, I'm pretty optimistic about Burks. I think the asthma thing is maybe creating a buying opportunity. And who's the other guy we were talking about? Who's off to
Breece Hall?
Breece Hall. Yeah, I mean, like, I just think he's way too good a prospect to fade. Like, he is just a notch below Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor level as a prospect. And yes, I did get my first Michael Carter share this past weekend. I think maybe we are fading him a little bit too much, but still, like, I want Breece Hall. Like, he is a stud prospect. That offensive line, even without Becton, like, that's a pretty good offensive line. The inside three is terrific.
And I still have Hall way, way ahead of Michael Carter, but I just think Michael Carter is being, you know, so low. He's just going below, like, you know, Singletary and Patterson and Kareem Hunt and a lot of those guys. And I do have him ranked behind some of those guys, but come on. Like, he's still going to be a stud, I think.
All right, Bogman, do your last one so we can get to some draft strategy stuff.
George mother effing Pickens. Come on. I just have one question, and it is George Pickens the greatest wide receiver you've ever seen in your life? Pat, Jake? What do you think? Number Pat. One?
Best man, ever? I'm excited, Boggs.
Right?
Like, I hate to share your excitement about a Steelers guy and, you know, let you have your moment here. But, man, like, not just the catch, like, he's so hyper competitive, man. Like that defensive back he just blasted.
I was about to say, Boggs, he's going to be great in all those leagues where we count wide receiver
pancake blocks.
Yeah, pancake blocks. My pancake block league, he's going to be really, really extra good.
And didn't he have a training camp moment where, like, he caught a pass on Minka Fitzpatrick and, like, they were walking back and the camera caught him? Like,
he was, bleep. He was doing a dance to Minka Fitzpatrick, and Tomlin came up to him and said, "Don't do that to Minka, dude." you know. So you don't want to do that to Minka. So
I know, man. Like one of the best DBs in the league, and just. Anyway,
made him look silly. Jake, greatest wide receiver in the history of the NFL, right?
George Pickens. This during draft time. I'll echo my dad joke from back then, if it's even a dad joke. But I said Claypool announced the better wide receiver at the draft.
Yep, he did.
That's it.
Oh, Bogman's going to be insufferable this year. There is another wideout conversation to have. Let's do a quick break, and we're going to do it right after this. Strap in, everybody. We're going to get some. Tude going. I'm excited. Mr. Jake Seeley, Justin Jefferson over Cooper Kupp. Oh, let's hear it.
Joe Pizzapia likes that. Do you not like
agrees.
That?
I want to state before the wrath of Seeley is about to be unleashed, I am still Kupp, but Joe Pizzapia came on here last week and said he said the best draft spot in the draft is to have 5 so he could take Justin Jefferson, Jake. The floor is yours.
So the nice timing with this today, by the way. I feel like I've been taking crazy pills for the last 3 weeks with this whole let's make Cooper Kupp not even just the second wide receiver, but the third wide receiver off the board. There, and then people sit here. I say I want reasons because I've said this ad nauseum on my podcasts and said if you take 20% off of Cooper Kupp, he's still the number one fantasy wide receiver. If you take off an ungodly 40%. He's still top 8, barely in front of Deontay Johnson from last year. And I say those numbers to say this. Everybody says there's regression coming. I'll even buy into some regression. I'll take that. I'll take the bait on that and say there's regression. Meanwhile, nobody cared about the fact that Antonio Brown went 1-1-2-2 for 4 straight years in his finish. And everybody's talking about Antonio Brown. And you should take him as the number one pick over running backs because it's so predictable and consistent. But anyway, Matthew Stafford, do you want to play the injury game? If you're going to play the injury game, you're going to play the injury game with everybody. You're in a separate boat. I'm not talking to those people.
Boy, do I agree with that, Bogdan.
Yeah. I'm not talking with the elbow and Cooper Kupp's injuries and Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry and Saquon. But you're in a boat that I'm not talking to right now. I'm talking about the people that want to come up with this list for Justin Jefferson, and it's if Kupp regresses, if Jefferson sees more, if O'Donnell does this. If this person
like, was candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
It's like a list of 5 or 6 reasons just to get them neck and neck. And here's my biggest problem that I even mentioned on Twitter, Welsh. It's like, okay, Justin Jefferson or Coop. I'm already. Why is it only Jefferson? Why is Chase not in this conversation? If you're talking about people that can make a jump.
Devontae.
Yeah. He already had 167 targets last year. Jamar Chase was on his heels with 128. If Chase jumps to 168, then we're talking about maybe Chase versus Kupp. But why is it only Jefferson? I can't believe like there's no argument. There's no argument to put Kupp
as second or
third. Because
O'Connell is taking the Rams offense, and Jefferson is going to be Kupp in this offense.
We're looking for the next one because it's so infrequent that somebody repeats. Okay, sure. You know what? And then when Kupp misses 3 games and Jefferson finishes number 1, you can come for me after he missed 3 games.
Jefferson
number one? Jefferson's so I have
Chase over Jefferson.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, Pat, you had your hand raised on this. You have a take on this. As some of your cohorts on the Fantasy Pros side like the Jefferson as the number one, what say you?
Hard act to follow here, but I totally agree with Jace's with Jake's take on the Kupp versus Jefferson thing. I think I've even used that same 20% thing. And I actually have Chase ahead of Jefferson. It always comes back to the LSU days for me where it seemed like Chase was just, you know, this uber NFL prospect and just this college star. And it was kind of like, oh yeah, and this Jefferson guy, it turns out he's pretty good too. And I thought it was kind of interesting in Peter King's column 2 weeks ago where he led with an item on Jamar Chase and how hard he was working in training camp. And he was talking about, asked Chase to compare himself to other wide receivers. And the first guy he named was Jefferson. And Chase just goes, I'm better than Justin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
And, like, the next guy named was Devonte Adams, and he kind of hemmed and hawed, like, oh, I'm not going to say I'm better than Devonte or whatever. But, like, he was pretty confident he was better than Justin Jefferson. But, yeah. I've mostly done this in the context of Burrow, and Jake made a great point with the targets Chase had. Like, Joe Burrow was only 16th in the league in targets or in passes attempted last year. Like, what if the Bengals' defense is bad this year and he has to open it up a lot more? Like, I think people are just terrified that T. Higgins is there, and, like, that's going to somehow, like, put a cap on Jamar Chase. And, oh, yeah, we saw the limited ceiling of Jamar Chase last year. Like, come on, man. I mean, I have no problem with someone taking Jefferson over Chase. More of a problem with someone taking Jefferson over Kupp. But for me, it's Kupp, Chase, Jefferson.
I love this conversation. I do want to point out someone specifically did ask for this question to be asked to you. They just wanted
before
to
today
a little bit. No, it was done.
We played Madden before this, and somebody was hitting us up and said, "You got to ask."
Someone did say it today, and I want to say someone said it tomorrow, but no, there was a today, like a couple hours before we're recording this, said they wanted us to push you a little bit there, Jake, on that Justin Jefferson action.
Look, this one isn't going to get as big a reaction here, but Fitz, who do you have the most shares of in your draft so far? I want to know who the Fitz guys are so far. Who have you been snapping up so much? Because like I said before, Michael Carter is my highest owned player at this point.
Well, I've been getting a lot of Antonio Gibson, as you might have gathered from earlier. But it seems like I've been snapping up Mark Andrews a lot lately. And I come out of every draft, it seems like, with either Andrews or Rashad Bateman. Just like such a limited target tree there with like, Devin DuVernay and a bunch of injured guys contending for the wide receiver two spot. I'm not really like a depth chart analyst that way, but I've talked to you about how much I love Bateman's game at Minnesota. And like, I just don't see where, like, we're hating on Mark Andrews because he did well with Huntley at quarterback last year.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's kind of a plus that you could still get points with the backup quarterback. Like, I've no issues with that at all. So he's still like tight end two for me, just a tick below Kelsey, yet Kelsey's going at the 1-2 turn, and Andrews is going like middle of the third round.